is WMVP AM Chicago.
The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Flood!
King of Crash!
The Colossus of Cloud! The Colossus of Cloud!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and we have a guest this week, Kevin Hefner, president of Historic Autograph Company, and Steve Goffman is our producer this week. We're taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Give us a call at 312-332-3776 with an item, a question about an item, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction. We're giving away, no one picked up the Topps football hobby box last week, so that'll be the prize this week. And if you've brought something into Triple Crown that I tweeted a picture of it and talk about it, you'll get in the drawing. Or if you tweet me a picture of an item and we use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing. And Kevin Hefner, now, last time we talked to you, you had said coming up fairly soon was going to be your Civil War product. Can you give us an update on that one? Oh, Bill, is Kevin's not with you yet?
Oh, Bill?
Bill.
Hello?
Hello, is this Bill?
Yeah, I'm here. You can't hear me?
I can now. Is Kevin Hefner with you?
Yeah, Kevin's with me.
Okay.
How are you doing, Tom? I'm sorry about that.
All right, doing great. Now, Kevin, I was saying that last time you were with us, you were talking about you had the Civil War product coming up. Is that, how are things coming with that?
Actually, they're coming along incredibly well. We just got word from Beckett that all the cards have now been graded for the boxes in the actual Civil War card set. We are in the process of purchasing the last of the autographs and getting what can be authenticated by PSA authenticated. And we are working on a deal with the lead authenticator for the National Park Service to authenticate all the remaining autographs.
Wow, really? Okay. Any estimate?
The problem with some of these autographs are the brevetted generals in the Union and Confederacy armies don't have a lot of exemplars. A brevetted general would only have been a general for a short period of time, and PSA does not have exemplars. So what we're doing is getting getting the lead authenticator for the National Park Service to look over them, and then we're going to write letters of authenticity for them with the seal of historic autograph on them.
Any idea when the street date will be for the product yet?
Yeah, it's going to be sometime in November now, because we are just finishing up another project that we wanted to issue by the beginning of the World Series, which is called Casey's Juggernaut. It's part of our original series. And, of course, Casey's Juggernaut deals with the 1948-55 New York Yankees.
Wow, really? So is that going to be a card with a... with an autograph, with a cut with it? What will the setup be for that product?
The setup will be exactly like it has been with all our original series. It'll be an original trading card and an authentic autograph. The autograph will be authenticated by PSA, and the set registry will be set up on the numerical value they place on the autograph, not the real card.
Ah, okay. Very good. Now, what's the street date for that one?
Street date for that will be during the World Series.
Oh, very good. Well, one of our listeners, I thought this was perfect timing, actually came in with some items for the Huggins and Scott November auction, including, which I thought was neat, a Mantle DiMaggio dual signed baseball. But then he says, oh, yeah, I also have an envelope signed by Abraham Lincoln. So he sends me a picture of it, and I thought this was really neat. I'm going to tell a quick story here and then see what you guys think about this. Okay, the envelope on, it was like vertical on the left side. I tweeted a picture of this a couple days ago at T Crown Tom. It said, submitted to the Sec of War, A. Lincoln, March 7th, 1863. So I looked up that date. I just thought, I wonder if anything was going on that particular date. And I found on the LincolnLog.org, they have like a day-by-day history of what Lincoln was up to. And on Saturday, March 7th, 1863, one of the things they have on there, direct Secretary Stanton, please see General Halleck today. And if you can get him half agreed, I agree to an appointment for General Fremont. So he actually, General Edwin Stanton was Secretary of War under Lincoln for a few years. So it actually, to go in and see that on that date and what was going on was something Lincoln had written down on that date. To me, I was this is really cool. Now, how would a signed envelope with a date like that for Lincoln compare to, number one, just a cut signature, and number two, like a letter where he had important historical information in the letter, Kevin? How do you think that would rank in as far as values go?
Values of Lincoln items are, believe it or not, all over the board. I guess you, in comparison, for a sports person, it'd be like Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
The Lincoln piece that you described is a war date, which, of course, puts it in the plus column. Was the signature a free franc signature, or was it just a signed envelope?
I believe it's just a signed envelope, and it was too...
So there's no postal mark on it?
No, it was like he was making notes or something. It said on it, like, the President of U.S. and something else, like as if it was going to be addressed, but he had signed and dated on the left side, March 7th.
Okay, so you didn't... I'm just saying there was no postal stamp on it, correct?
No postal stamp, no. And he met that day with the Secretary of War on the day that he had dated this thing.
Well, in all honesty, during the war, he met with Stanton every day. Stanton was in office. But the, you know, the mentioning of guys like Halleck and Stanton, you know, to a specific day do help it a little bit. It's not like he was, you know, doing nothing during that time period. And it's also the beginning of the Emancipation Proclamation, which would have gone into effect roughly two months, 1 week earlier. The piece itself, if it was a free franc, would be worth a little bit more because we know it would have been used during the course of the war and mailed. But it's definitely worth more than a cut. It's definitely worth more than a document of no significance to the war because of the fact it's a war date. Of course, it's not going to be anywhere close to what some of the letters are. Letters can go in the hundreds of thousands, depending on true content. But my estimation on a piece like that, low end is going to be about 5,000, and high end, because it is a war date, could be, you know, 8,000 to 10,000.
Yeah, well, nice. That's what I was kind of thinking myself after seeing some of the stuff. Yeah, that's very nice. So now, Bill, you've run some Lincoln autographed items in Huggins and Scott auctions, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, we've run several different things. A lot of land grants are some of the big things we usually see, and appointments, and then just cut signatures where it's either A. Lincoln or his full name.
Yeah, very nice. Well, if Ed from Lake Forest decides to consign that in a Huggins and Scott auction, we'll watch it and see what happens with it. Another... I got another call from a listener. It's actually Dave from Hoosier Bat Company. And here's another one that I thought was, he said he hasn't seen any of these. I didn't see any that have ended in auctions anywhere, but maybe you guys have. He has two. He knew George Steinbrenner personally, and he has two bats signed by Steinbrenner. Now, I've seen baseball sell like $300 to $500 single signed Steinbrenner baseballs. Have either of you seen a bat signed by Steinbrenner?
I want to say I have seen actually a Steinbrenner bat where they, I guess Louisville Slugger printed his name on the bat, and then he would sign it for people. I don't know if it was for promotional things or what have you, but they're several hundred dollars as well, I would think.
I hold on to a perfect ball.
Yeah, very good. Another thing that Dave had, 10 pewter statues signed by Hall of Famers like Hank Aaron, which those can be kind of neat, and he had a single signed baseball for each Hall of Famer to go with it. So I thought those would be good lots for Huggins and Scott, wouldn't they, Bill?
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah.
Each one of them would work.
Very good. Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a box of 2015 Topps Hobby Football to one caller or tweeter. If you tweet a picture of an item, Vince will do the drawing. ERC Delivery will deliver free of charge to the winner if they contact Vince at the end of the show. There's a couple of, there have been more neat things being brought into T-Crown or people emailing me or calling about. And some of them are going in for the Huggins and Scott auctions. Like, now here's something. I don't know if you run these, Bill. These Steve on Twitter just sent a picture of two old Wrigley Field wooden seats. Looks like they're attached. I don't know. It doesn't look like they're on a base. Have you run any old Wrigley seats recently?
I don't know if we've run Wrigley, but we've run... You know, lately, I'm sure we have run some in the past, but we got, we usually get, a couple of seats for every auction from different fields, Crosley Field, Yankee Stadium, several different ones. The only problem with seats is they cost a lot to ship them.
Yeah, that's for sure. That would be,
I mean, Chris, our shipping manager, literally has to build something on a pallet to ship this thing.
Yeah. And first, they'd have to get it to you there, too, from this area. So that would be, that might be trouble with something like that.
Well, yeah. Sometimes, actually, we'll sell them if they can take pictures of them, and it'll say where it is, and the person who wins it can have somebody have it shipped or pick it up, possibly locally.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Now, another item.
And the shipping is zero.
Vince is here, ERC Delivery. They can handle lots of different things. I don't know if you guys really can drive to Washington, D.C., though, with stuff. That's a thing. How would you work that out?
It might be a little more expensive than what, you know, some of the other companies could do overnight.
It would have to be a really big, expensive item, I guess, to make that
worthwhile. We do some crating and things like that for some artwork that we're picking up and delivering, so we could help out if needed.
Very good. An item that's in the – you can go to HugginsandScott.com and see previews for the November auction. An item that's in the November auction that you don't see every day, a Fidel Castro – Rene Solis, I believe, is how you pronounce the other signature, dual sign baseball. Now, Rene Solis, is that the guy, he was a Cuban minor league pitcher that never pitched in the majors? Or as far as you know, Bill, for that baseball, $1,500 minimum bid on that one.
I'm going to let Kevin answer that.
Okay.
Well, Solis was a ball player, but it'd be actually better if Fidel was on the ball by himself.
Yeah.
Being that he tried out for the Senators twice and was rejected.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's nice that, you know, you have that baseball. It would actually be good if you could research if he had maybe tried out with Castro during the time that Castro tried out for the Senators, or if he had just met him in Cuba before the embargoes.
Now, I knew Fidel Castro played baseball and wanted to be a baseball player. I never knew he tried out for the Senators. I'm learning something from you, Kevin. Every time you're on, I learn something from you. Tell us the story about that.
Totally useless information.
Tell us a story about that when Fidel Castro tried out for the Washington Senators
twice and was rejected twice.
Wow. Boy.
Maybe that's why he has had a bad taste in his mouth about America for so long.
Yeah, that might have had something to do with it. I heard he was a real baseball fanatic, which actually makes it even neater that it's a signed baseball that he's on there. And, I bet they did. Maybe they practiced together, those two guys, or traveled around together, and that's why they're both on. It'll be interesting to see what that does in an auction, though, that's for sure. That's in the Huggins and Scott November auction. So Fidel was a pitcher, right? Or was he?
That I don't know. I don't know what position he played.
Yeah, for some reason, I think he might have been a pitcher, but we'll check that out for sure. Now, it's almost time for a short break. Before we get to that, I got a call from Dave, who is a baseball coach at Andrian High School in Merrillville, Indiana. He couldn't call into the show today and ask if he could give me the info. They have a charity golf outing at Linden Oaks Country Club in Crete, Illinois today. And there's a silent auction. I guess they have a memorial scholarship to a former player named Luke DeBold, who played at Miami of Florida after high school, was in two NCAA championships. But if you go to that golf course, if you have a foursome, they said they could probably get you in to golf. But they're also doing a silent auction. One of the things which Dave got from, he knows the hitting coach for the Cubs, is a baseball signed by Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, Kyle Schwarber, Jorge Soler, and Addison Russell. So, I mean, if you're a Cub fan, that's like the future of the Cubs right there. So if you can, if you're interested, go to Lincoln Oaks Country Club in Crete today. Silent auction bidding begins at 9:30 and lasts until the end of the golf. And maybe you can get in on that. And now it's time for a short break. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. Give us a call with a question about the value of your collectibles. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our guest this week is Kevin Hefner, president of Historic Autograph Company. So get in with your questions about autographs. If you have anything throughout history, any autographs, we've got the guy on who knows a lot of what's going on with just about everything. So give us a call, 312-332-3776. We're giving away to one caller or tweeter of an item a box of Topps Hobby Football. 312-332-3776. And Adam from Naperville's been waiting on the line. What do you have there, Adam?
Hello?
Hello, Adam.
Yeah, hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
I've got a 1986 New York Mets yearbook signed by Gary Carter.
Gary Carter, he passed away relatively young age, but did sign a lot. He did a lot of signing for the card companies like Topps and those guys, in the 90s and 2000s. So his autographs, maybe $25 to $50 on something like that, not worth a ton. Yeah, but always a neat item to hang on to. Steve, it looks like the X button's not working to get a caller off on this thing. That was happening last week too, so I guess you'll have to X them out. So, all right, next on the line we have RJ from Park Ridge. What's up, RJ? RJ disappeared. Okay. RJ, if you can call back, it's 312-332-3776. All right, we've got some neat stuff that people have tweeted us items about. Here's one. It's from Superman Todd. It's a Martin Luther King with best wishes cut signature. It's been graded. The card has been graded a 9.5. Not sure if that's the card or the auto. It's a signed card. But what do you see? How often do you see Martin Luther King items, and what type of value on his signature, guys?
Honestly, Martin Luther King signatures I've seen a lot more of them over the last 2 years than I probably did in the 15 years previous. I don't know why. but it's you see a lot more of them. They used to be in the $2,000 range, but a cut like that, you could probably, you know, you could see somewhere in the $800 to $1,200 range because it's a small cut.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that product before, you know, so I've seen those types of cards before. There are a following, you know, for people with the artwork cards. So, you know, maybe, you know, something like that, because it is graded by Beckett. It is Beckett that created it, yes.
Yes.
Because it is graded by Beckett, it's probably going to get closer to $2,000 because it's, you know, it's got a nice presentation.
It's got a nice grade, and JSA, I guess, authenticated on that holder. It's JSA and Beckett together on that one. Then here's a neat one. This is something different, Bill. I don't know if this would be for a Huggins and Scott auction or not. Amy from Wheaton came into T-Crown. I guess there was action figures of The Simpsons from 1999 to 2004. There was a thing called World of Springfield. They ended up with, like, I think 200 different figures and characters from the series, 40 interactive play sets, three non-interactive diorama town settings. So they really went big with this. Amy still has all in really good condition, she says, and in their original packaging, 65 of the figures, 19 play sets, 8 Toys R Us exclusives, 4 EB exclusives, 4 celebrity figures, 2 vehicles. Well, it's like you can do everything with this. So, Bill, I don't know, have you ever run anything from The Simpsons like that, or is that whole batch, if Amy wanted to auction this whole batch, is that something you'd want to do?
Well, I certainly would be happy to investigate that with her and find out if it's something that is feasible for us to auction. It sounds like it's something that is fairly large in size if you put it all together.
Yeah, probably be at least a couple of big boxes full of stuff, you would think.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure some research could be done to find out whether she has a complete series, a complete history, or the, you know, as far as that goes, and what maybe they have sold for in the past. And if it's something that, you know, is $500, $1,000 or more, right? Yeah, I'd be happy to give it a try.
Yeah, it actually should be. I saw some that were selling individually on eBay. They were going like $10 to $30 if they were in the original packaging, most of them. So it would probably be worth looking into anyway. Another one, a kind of similar but more fragile. Jim called. Jim is a listener, and he has a set of 30 bobbleheads from 2003, one for each team. It's a Major League Baseball. I think they were an All-Star Game bobblehead, and he's got each one still in their original packaging also. Now, to me, that's another one. Those big bobblehead boxes, if you've got 30 of them, and they're fragile, I don't know. You know, those look like, if that only goes for $500 or $600, it might not be worth it. If it goes for over $1,000 or $1,500 or $2,000, maybe it's more worth it. What do you think about that type thing for Huggins and Scott, Bill?
Well, I mean, yeah, it would be. It's just a matter of shipping and packing it properly in order to get it to where it's going from where it is. And a lot of fragile stuff is, you know, the last thing you want is to buy something and have it be damaged in shipping because it was improperly sent or wasn't taken care of by some of the either FedEx or UPS or whatever like that. So fragile stuff when you ship it is something that you really got to make sure it's packaged safely. We do that. It's just once it's out of our hands, it's tough to control it.
And something with, you know, that's not like it's a $10,000 item. If it's maybe $500 to $1,000, it's almost like the risk reward almost isn't enough there to justify it, I would think. You know, with
well,
that,
and the shipping could be half
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. So that one might be trouble for an auction. Vince, did you find anything out about the tryout by Fidel Castro?
Yeah, late 40s Castro, a lefty, tried out for Washington Senators and was rejected.
I wonder if he had a Scroogey.
Don't know, but imagine had he made it, what that would have done to history after that. You know?
Who would
the whole 60s would have been different, I'm sure.
Yeah, right? Think about it. And now we're open back up and setting up. There's Wi-Fi in
that's
Cuba.
Right,
you know?
That's right.
Okay, now in the Huggins and Scott auction, the November auction, you can go to HugginsandScott.com. We have Kevin Hefner, president of Historic Autograph Company, on with us today. So it's a good day to call about with autograph questions, 312-332-3776. But here's a neat thing, a different thing anyway, on Huggins and Scott, a NASA single-signed lot of 12 with John Glenn and Sally Ride, Wally Schirra. You know, I was just thinking today while I was walking, what did I see? But after I got my car, out of my car, I'm walking down. I had to park farther away because they've got construction by where I normally park. And I thought, well, Vince drives by. I'm like 12 blocks away. Vince might pull over and ask if I want to ride to the station the rest of the way.
I was looking for you, actually. Okay? I didn't see you.
And I was going to say, I don't know, Vince, it's not worth the chance of getting car sick. When I was a kid, now I would get car sick when I was a kid, son, but think about it. Your dad's got the windows closed and is smoking cigarettes in there. You know what I mean? But the tie-in with this, I think I would have liked to have been an astronaut. But the fact that I got car sick as a kid probably doesn't make you a real good.
Yeah,
and I think I might have been a little too tall for it, too.
That may have been one of the prerequisites to go up in space. Yeah. You got to be able to handle the motion without getting sick.
Yeah,
I think
I would have probably flunked right away. But anyway, that's a roundabout way to ask Kevin if there are any astronauts that are especially tough to get or more valuable than others that you've noticed over the years?
Well, of course, the pinnacle of all astronaut collections, need to have Neil Armstrong. But with astronauts, there are so many astronauts because there were so many missions that outside of, you know, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and John Glenn, a lot of these guys, it depends on when they passed. White was his name. The one, the first spacewalk, his last name was White. He died in the early 70s. What? Grissom died in the 80s?
No, Gus Grissom. He was the guy who died in the fire in the 60s, Gus Grissom, yes.
Yeah, fire in the 60s, that's what Bill just said.
Yeah.
You know, and so you have these levels, but all of them are surpassed by Neil Armstrong. The biggest problem with NASA is that there are a ton of secretarials.
Oh, really? So they really need to get checked out.
Not NASA, NASA. there's just a ton of secretarials. So it is, authentication is always important, but it is overly important when it comes to NASA images because a lot of the astronauts are so busy that when the images are sent to them, they do have signers for them, ghost signers.
Okay, Josh from Burbank's on the line. What do you have there, Josh?
Hi.
How are you? Are you inside a drum right now? What's going on there, Josh?
Inside a car.
Okay, what's up?
I have a Danbury Mint collection. I just wanted to know if it's worth anything.
Danbury Mint, what exactly do you have from Danbury Mint?
It's a baseball collection from about the year 2000.
Okay, how many different ones do you have? Okay, well, I guess we'll have to move on from that one. I don't know. Maybe he was having, you get a little cold feet sometimes when you realize you're on the radio. It's hard to spit out sometimes. The number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And this week we have Kevin Hefner, president of Historic Autograph Company, on with us, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Give us a call, 312-332-3776. Or you can tweet an item at TCrownTom as my Twitter ID. If we use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing. We're giving away a Topps football hobby box. George F. tweeted me a picture. I don't know. This might have some value. I guess especially if it was used by Kelly Clarkson, which we'll have to find out from George F. But Kelly Clarkson signed guitar. Any value to that?
Of course, when it comes to somebody that's as famous as Kelly Clarkson, it's going to have value. The rub is, one, again, authentication. Because of the way the modern signature is, they're so easy to, you know, scribble something out and call it, you know, I'm not saying that this one's not authentic, but what I'm saying is that there are, you know, about half of the ones submitted to PSA are rejected. I would venture to say that if it is real and it is a good guitar, remember, you have different levels of guitar.
Right.
That will play into the autograph. The autograph will add roughly $100 to $150 to the value of the guitar. So if it's a $150 guitar, it is a $300 item, and so on and so forth.
Wow. Now, Kelly.
And I do want to give a shout-out to Vince there. I met both Tom and Vince at the National, and I want to say they're both incredible guys. They're fun. They're as funny in person, probably more so than they are on the radio. And it truly was an honor to meet you, and it's fantastic to be on your show. Oh,
I got a great picture of Vince playing that game at your site there.
I had an absolute blast at your place there at the show. That was awesome. The games you had, it was just amazing time. So thank you, Kevin.
That was fun.
I don't think you guys are going to make Atlantic City, but we are going to do even more in Atlantic City because we're going to be doing a mobsters theme. In honor of Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, cool. There you go. That was a great show, wasn't it, Boardwalk Empire? Yeah, it was great to meet you, Kevin. And whenever you can come on the show, I mean, you add quite a bit to it. It's great having you on. Well, we don't have to. We got a couple callers waiting, but we're time for another short break here. So hang in there. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. We'll be right back. Hang in there, everybody.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and this week we have Kevin Hefner, president of Historic Autograph Company, on with us. We're taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, and this week it's a good idea to get in questions about autographs because Kevin's the expert on a lot of this stuff. So give us a call, 312-332-3776. Let's get right to the calls. We've got John from Aurora waiting on the line. What do you have there, John?
Hello, guys. I have a certificate that my dad got when he was in the 1940s. He went to a batting school in the Chicago Park District. It's signed by Rogers Hornsby as the batting instructor. And it's also signed by John Carmichael, who I believe is also in the Hall of Fame as a sports writer.
Sports writer. Was he Chicago American or Chicago Daily News or something at the time?
I think it was the Daily News. I think he was a sports editor there.
Yeah, I think you're right. What do you think, Kevin, on that one?
I mean, it sounds like a fantastic. I've never seen something like this, and I've seen a lot of Hornsby's autographs.
It's a really cool item. It's got a picture of a little leaguer swinging a bat.
Yeah, that's neat.
But what I'm saying is, the personal connection is nice, of course. But as a value goes, Carmichael's going to be a difficult, a judge because there's only so many people that collect the Hall of Fame writers. But I would venture to say because it's intact, is it in excellent condition?
Yeah, it's in the signatures themselves are in excellent condition. It looks like there's a bit of spotting on the upper left-hand corner of the certificate, maybe a mold or.
Foxing can be expected on a piece of that age. Overall, what is the size?
It's about the size of 8x10, somewhere like that, like a certificate.
With the pair of autographs authenticated in the condition you described, I would venture to say that it's somewhere in the $700 to $1,000 range.
Ah, very nice, John. That's cool.
Thank you.
And if you ever decided you wanted to sell it, I'm sure Bill Huggins at HugginsandScott.com would be interested in auctioning that item for you. I got a call at T-Crown this week from Pat from Chicago. He used to listen back in the days when I was on Saturday mornings, and we had Whitey Ford as a guest three different times. And Whitey Ford told some of the best stories, great storyteller. And, of course, if it's Whitey Ford telling stories, you know he's going to tell some Yogi Berra stories. And Pat asked if the station could somehow get up a couple of those old interviews. I don't even know where they'd be able to find those. But I was planning anyway on telling a couple quick stories. Obviously not as well as Whitey Ford right. told them, but a couple quick stories that Whitey did tell about Yogi. One of them was when they were at spring training in the early 60s, and a Secret Service agent comes into the clubhouse and says, "I'm looking for Whitey Ford." And Whitey's like, "Uh-oh, what did I do now?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm Whitey." And he said, "President Kennedy's father would like to meet you." I think it was Yogi Berra, Mickey Mantle, and I think the fourth one might have been Tony Kubek after the spring training game. So they're like, yeah, they sent a limo over, picked him up, took him there. Well, Whitey was a collector. So I guess this was after President Kennedy's father had already had the stroke, but he wanted to hear them tell stories. They told stories for an hour or so. He laughed, nodded, couldn't really add much to it. But as they're getting ready to leave, Whitey goes, "Mr. Kennedy, I know I'm asking you a lot here, but is there any way you could get these dozen baseballs signed by President Kennedy?"
Oh, wow.
And he nods his head. And a few months later, a dozen single-signed JFK baseballs show up at Whitey's house. He
really?
Kept three, gave three to each of the other guys. In the early 90s, Whitey, who was a collector, was reading Sports Collector's Digest and saw a single-signed JFK ball at the time selling, somebody was asking like 35 grand. So he goes, "Oh, my God, I got to tell these guys." He goes, "Guys, you got to find those baseballs. They're selling for like 35,000. He goes, "Yogi's still up in the attic looking for them." The only one they let their kids play with them. Whitey, I guess, saved one had a beauty from what I've heard, a beautiful single-signed ball. And then the other quick story here, they were at an old-timers game, and they're walking off the field, and I guess every year at this old-timers game, they would list on the scoreboard the different Yankees who had passed away that year. And as they're walking off, Yogi goes, "I hope I don't see my name up there next year." So unfortunately, that's it for Yogi. But what a life. I don't know. Did either of you guys, I never had a chance to meet or talk to Yogi Berra. Did either of you guys ever?
I think Kevin said he did. I really did not, other than seeing him at shows.
Yeah. Kevin did, though.
Yeah,
huh?
Yogi was, you know, a lot of these players are, I don't want to say standoffish, but they're so accustomed to admirers being around them. Yogi always seemed to be genuine. He always laughed, and he was naturally what you see his quotes to be. It wasn't forced. It wasn't, you know, contrived. He was just, it's a great loss. Baseball had a great loss. I am not a Yankees fan. I will give shout out to your Cubs, though. They're impressing so far.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to my staff when Yogi died this week, and I said, although Whitey's still around, it almost feels like the end of an era.
Yeah, right.
Because they're no longer battery mates alive, and Whitey is like the last, you know, horse from those teams that is still with us. And you think, even Casey said of Yogi, "I never play a game without my man." And, you know, when he said that, he said it to Bertie Tebbets. Tebbets had no idea what he was talking about. He thought Stengel was saying, you know, something crazy. And then he realized Stengel's man, even though Mantle was his boy, his man was Yogi. He played Yogi everywhere. Yogi was one of the smart, you know, according to Stengel, was one of the smartest ball players he had ever met. And I think with the loss of him, it's the end of an era. The 50s are gone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I think that's the way I feel. And I'm not a Yankees fan, but I feel like it really is. You've closed a chapter on this.
There aren't many left from that started in the 50s and ended in the 50s, that's for sure. Well, let's get to some more of our callers here. Jim has been waiting from Lake Bluff. Thanks for waiting, Jim. What do you have?
Hi, guy. Well, first of all, I've got about a 2-second Yogi story.
Okay.
2004 World Series down in St. Louis, and I take my son down there. We don't have tickets. We go over to the Marriott lobby, and it was like an ant colony with activity. You know, the place was flying around. And I look over, and on this little couch, sitting by himself, just sitting there, was Yogi Berra. I mean, no one knew who he was, and he just was, he was just a yogi being an actual yogi. And I just went over and said, "Hi, Mr. Berra," for a second. And the sweetest, nicest guy. I mean, exactly what you said before. You know, no pretense. No, I'm a big star. No posse around him. But what a moment just to talk to him for about a minute. So,
and it can't be overlooked what a great player he was. One of the times Whitey Ford was on, there had been a sport magazine or something where they ranked the all-time great catchers, and they didn't have Yogi in the top couple, like maybe fifth or sixth, and he was adamant about it. He's like, number one. He goes, "Are you kidding me? Three MVPs?" You know, because people, he was so funny and nice, and all the quotes, sometimes I think people would overlook just how great a player he was, but what a great player he was. So now, you do have an item too. We don't want to miss that. Or I guess, okay, we did. All right. Next on the line, we have Drew from St. Joseph, Michigan. What's up, Drew? What do you have?
I have a 8x10 off. It's got the certificate of authenticity. It's got autographs of Stan Musial, Enos Slaughter, and Terry Moore.
Okay, and it's an 8x10 photo?
Yeah, it's 8x10 black and white photo of all three of them, and they all autographed it. My brother worked for the Cardinals for a while, and he got it, and it's got the certificate of authenticity with it.
Now, that's cool. Did your brother ever come up with any, like, game-used items from any of the guys or any cool stuff like that?
No, not really. He was more in the kind of the gift shop section of the.
Oh, okay.
So I got a couple jerseys and stuff, but they weren't, you know, no players or game used or anything. That was really the only thing of anything of value that he got for me.
What years did he work for him? Like, he didn't get any of those old bobbleheads, did he? Like, from the,
no, you know? I wanted him to get a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
But he, kind of out of the mid-90s.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure who that third guy. What was the name of the third guy? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, that's the only problem. It's Terry Moore.
Okay, I'm not familiar with him. And I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Cause,
no, I don't think so he is either.
With two Hall of Famers and a third guy, that probably not a real valuable thing. More of a keepsake type thing, I would think, long term. But
yeah,
pretty neat anyway. Okay, thanks for the call. All right, next on the line, we've got Dave is on the line. What's up, Dave?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for the plug in the beginning of the show.
Oh, hi, Dave.
I've got some stuff here, signatures. My dad was in the Lions Club, and we happened to be at the Commodore Hotel, which is no longer in New York, in 47, and the All-Star Game was there. And I've got a page that has Dixie Howe, Howie Fox, the page, Peanuts Lowry, Walker Cooper, Bill Atwood, Ken Roethlisberger, Davey Adams, Jimmy Bloodworth, Clyde McCullough, Bud Lively, Ewell Blackwell, Ted Kluszewski, and Elmer Riddle on this paper.
Okay, so it's like an autograph book page?
Yeah, they all signed it for
me.
Yes.
Kevin, you probably see a pretty good amount of autograph books like that. What do you think of that group?
Tom, it's a piece of paper from the hotel.
Oh, I see.
A piece of stationery from the hotel.
What do you think of that group, Kevin?
The group itself, you said these were all from the All-Star Game?
Yes.
I mean, I know Bloodworth was an All-Star Ground. I don't know the, like, year.
I think 47.
Right. And, you know, obviously when you lifted it, I did not think I heard any Hall of Famers. But, you know, some of the guys that you did mention, you know, I think every one of them is passed. The album page itself, or not the album page, the page from the hotel, it's a nice connection because you said it's from the Commodore. You know, I would venture to say with the amount of autographs on there, you're probably looking at between $100 and $150.
Okay, Walker Cooper's on there. Then I got one more thing, and it's called the Twilight Years, and it's a baseball card of Babe Ruth swinging a bat. And it's a Topps number 141.
Hmm. Do you know what year that's from? Was that from the early 60s?
Yeah, I think it's the 62 series.
62 series, probably, yeah. Condition would be key on that one. It would have to be like a high grade.
It's high.
Yeah, so that would you'd want to get that one graded then. And, you know, that could be really good. Okay, next on the line we have Jim from Lake Bluff. What's up, Jim?
Oh, hi. I did my Yogi story, but I didn't get to my...
Oh, here we go, yeah.
Sorry. I called back.
Yeah, in fact, you're talking about autographs, and I just dug something out, and I've got a... I'm not quite sure of the year. I'm going to guess it's about a 55 or 56 Detroit Tiger autograph. I mean, I believe the whole team's on this, 24 guys. It's Hal Newhouser, Joe Ginsburg, George Kell, Virgil Trucks, Johnny Groth.
Well, let's see if it's 45. Now, if that's a team sign, wasn't that the year they beat the Cubs in the World Series, the last time the Cubs were in the World Series?
So, yeah, not 45, 50, about 55.
Oh, 55, okay. Well, that's a pretty big difference. What?
Anything
there you guys think that would make it...
Big words.
Make it worthwhile?
It's 55, it's K-line. Does it have an Al K-line on it?
You know, I'm...
Yeah, that would need K-line to, you know, but probably not a big value anyway, because that's not, if that had been 45, a World Series winner, that would have been big, but the group you've got there, probably not that valuable.
Okay.
All right,
thanks,
guys. Yeah, thanks for the call. Also now, in the Huggins and Scott November auction, bidding begins the first week in November. Lots of items if you go to HugginsandScott.com. Here was something kind of interesting. A Dick Green 1974 Oakland A's World Championship ring in the vintage Jostens presentation box with a $2,500 minimum bid. An interesting thing about Dick Green, he won the MVP, the Babe Ruth Award, even though he didn't have a hit in that series.
Really?
Raleigh Fingers won the other MVP. But that's pretty interesting, and be interesting to watch and see how that goes. Should be very valuable. I can't believe we're at the end of the show already.
Goes by fast, that's for sure.
Time to do the drawing.
All right, this week's winner is going to be Josh from Burbank. So, Josh, email me, vince@arcdelivery.com. Send me your address, and I'll deliver it to you free of charge.
Free of charge. ERC Delivery, you got to love it. Okay, Kevin Hefner from Historic Autograph Company, thanks once again for coming on with us. Anytime you can make it, great to have you on. And Bill Huggins, HugginsandScott.com. You still taking in items for the November auction. You can call Bill at 301-608-0355 during the week. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'd say go Bears, but I don't know where they're going. Have a good one.